Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
First of the year, first day of 2017, and I'm one of those that love new beginnings, love a fresh start, love... I'm a goal setter, though I think more important than setting goals is just recalibrating our soul and stepping back. I hope, folks, in this hectic craziness of coming out of one year into the new year, that you make time, put margin in to have time to think, to reflect on the last year, to look forward to the year ahead, and to just call upon God to evaluate our heart and our soul in this season. Last night, Michelle and I we're not late, folks, by any means, so we're very thankful for the 8 o'clock fireworks. And so we did something different. We hiked in town, had a pretty long hike last night to watch the fireworks, and. It was just a gorgeous night. I don't know if you were out last night, but walking in town, and it was quiet just most of the way until we got in town. And, man, I've never seen all, I think every house on Red Mountain was lit up, as well as all the other houses. It was just spectacular with the snow. And then, did you see the stars last night? You take time to look up. It was amazing. And, and then I started thinking, we didn't plan this, singing the star song, but I started thinking, you know, looking on the horizontal, in most of our life, folks, we live on the horizontal. We live looking this direction, and we don't take time to look up. Our perspective is the horizontal. What is in front of me, what I can see, what I can understand. And we take very little time to look up. And to look into what we can't build or make or understand. All these beautiful homes with the beautiful lights, that's what man can do. It's the good life. It's awesome. It's a gift from God. But when you look up, you see the Milky Way, that's what God can do. And it far surpasses what we can do. And I think our perspective in life is really often we get locked and loaded in this horizontal view. And very little do we look up and realize there is a whole nother life, the God life, that far surpasses the good life. And folks, as we begin this new year, I just want to, before I dive in here and give you some things, is just to encourage you what church is all about. What the very essence of gathering together as God's people who trust in Jesus for being the Savior of the world, for coming and doing for us what no one else has done before and no one else can do, which is to take our sin, shame, our guilt, set our soul free, put us into a right relationship with God, into a real relationship with God, give us a divine destiny, an eternal destiny, and roll out to us amazing promises. And to promise us a life with Him, with the Spirit of God living inside our soul. Folks, there's nothing like the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no better news anywhere. And too many times I think those of us who even know Jesus and walk with Him, we get locked and loaded in just this horizontal view and we forget to look up. And the vastness. Bigness, the glory of our God, and that He loves us so much, and that there's no one insignificant. Each of you is a unique masterpiece, the scripture says, of God. His unique creation, unique personality, unique gifts. You are not overlooked. You are not unknown. So God sees. He loves you. And He sent Jesus for the world, but that was a very personal sacrifice. It was for you. was for your heart, that you could be saved, that I could be saved out of this just meddling around and with pursuing the good life and start living the God life, something that far surpasses what I can do with my talents, and embrace the Spirit of God. And let the life of God start coming alive inside of my soul. And so I want to just kick this year off with just this big question. What kind of life are we going to live moving into 2017? Are we going to just move in and continue to pursue the good life? Or are we going to look up? And we're going to realize there's more. Do you realize that? There is more. There is far, far more. And let's just be honest. Look at this freaky place we're at. I mean, look out those windows. We don't lock the door to our house. We don't lock the door to our car. You have the most beautiful place, most beautiful homes, most beautiful people walking around. We're skiing at Aspen Mountain. It's just crazy. It's like, what a place this is. And this is where we're at. I mean, I don't know where you can go in the world where you can pursue the good life any better than this. Health, fitness, just go down the line. All of that, folks, is a blessing from God. But there's more. And you know what? Pursuing every bit of the good life, it will never fulfill or satisfy unless, right, there is a connection with my soul to the one who provided all of this and takes me to the more, the better. What God has for us, the God life. And so I wanted to share with you this first day of 2017, just two short passages, one the old, one the new. And these are two passages, favorites of mine. These are two passages that I have spent a lot of time just meditating on, these single passages, and God has spoken to me just over the years in these two passages in different ways, and I just kind of came back to them. I've been in a season for the last three, really, maybe 4 months, been in the book of Jeremiah. Some of you might say, oh, that's kind of not real up, and Jeremiah's a tough book. And I just encourage you with something, looking at the new year, again, this God life for us. It cannot be laid hold of. What Jesus has done for us, this abundant life he promises for us, this supernatural life he promises for us, it cannot be attained just by going through the ritual of religion, just the duty, just trying to be good. It's a dynamic fire. It's a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is a pursuit of God, an intimate personal relationship with God. And it can't be had without absorbing and developing hunger for God's word and getting it into our soul. And so I just encourage you. I know many of you do the read through the Bible in the year. That's awesome. Many of you do scripture memory. That's awesome. I encourage you to add another discipline to your life. Get into one book of the Bible and squeeze it for everything it's got. Live it. Get into that thing. When you run into questions, put them aside, study them, get that. Get into Jeremiah. If it's Jeremiah, get into his world. Get into the historical context. Get into this, what God was saying to the people back then. Scream out to God, God, speak to me. Yes. And too many times is that we just kind of fly through the word. We fly through our devotion. And we never give God time to speak to us. And we forget when we read the scripture, these are vast. We hit the highlights, the highlight reels of people's lives, and we forget there's these vast wilderness, dry, silent times. And what should be going on in those times? We should be hearing. We should be tuning in, right, to what God is saying. He wants to speak to you. Not just to preachers or prophets. He wants to speak to you. And that's why he came to do what he did for us. He wants to call you into this dynamic, real, personal relationship. And I pray if you're here this morning and you don't know, maybe you've been in church your entire life, maybe you've been a part of religion your whole life. Let me tell you, if you don't know him, Christianity is about knowing Jesus, personally knowing him in your soul, in your heart. That's why he came. He loves you that much. He wants to meet you at the place of your soul, of your mind. And so Jeremiah's where I've been living, and one of my favorite passages is, if you want to turn there, is in chapter 12, verse 5. And I want to give you a little background before I read that. Jeremiah had a tough duty. He was called by God to be God's prophet, and God's prophets would bring the word of God to God's people, and they would call God's people back when they went wayward. And Jeremiah lived in Jerusalem. His ministry was there, and he was well known, had a huge impact. but he had a tough go, is that he was called to minister and give the word of God to God's people in Jerusalem and call them back to God's heart, because they had got all caught up in the good life. Babylon was the growing empire at the time, but Jerusalem was growing, or was experiencing a high level of prosperity at this time. And God was continually telling Jeremiah, tell the people, return to me. Because this nation is growing over here, and your time is short if you do not turn to me. I will bring them to take you captive, to discipline you. He's trying to get our attention because he has good things for them. If they continue down this road, it is only a bad road. And Jeremiah kept bringing the word to them. And man, he just got worn out. And we see more than any other prophet in the Old Testament, we see Jeremiah wear his emotions on his sleeves. He was the weeping prophet. He was the one that we know more personally about him than any of the Old Testament prophets from his personal life. And he just got worn out. And he just started complaining. God, here are these people, they're prospering. They don't need anything. They don't need you. They're not listening to your word, and they're going the way of the pagan gods and everything else, and they're living large. And they're not listening to me. They're not listening to your word. They're not pursuing righteousness. They're not turning back. There's no real hunger for you, God. They're satisfied in with the good life that they're living. And so Jeremiah just got worn out, and he started just to contemplate throwing in the towel. And just say, you know what, God, this is not going well, and I might as well just join them. You know, I might as well just go and relieve myself of all this pursuit of holiness and righteousness, God. And it is hard, God, walking with you. It is hard following Jesus in a world that is just after the good life. And it's not hungry for God. So, God, I'm going to throw the towel in here. And, you know, it'd be just much easier just to go after the good life and live fun and relaxed and not worry about these big issues. You ever felt like that? Ever felt like following Jesus, obeying his word, being a light, pursuing purity, pleasing God over pleasing man or ourself? You ever just got tired of pursuing God? You ever been in a place of the desert where he's not speaking, he's not moving, and man, I'm just going to throw the towel in. I'm just going to join the crowd. I'm just going to pursue the good life. I'm just going to, you know, spend my time just having fun. We all have. Every one of us. And this is where God starts to speak. And folks, you know what? God does not want us to be some little people who speak just rote prayers. He wants to hear your soul. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to know how you really feel. And then he wants to speak to you. And I know this well. And it's when we start getting honest with our soul and our feelings that God starts speaking. Here's the problem with religion and duty. A lot of us have grown up in church and it was just the ritual of going. It was boring. It was just duty. It was just kind of doing the right thing, being, quote, nice person, good person. You know what? God's not concerned about any of that crap. Right? It's a waste of time. It'll mess you up. What he's concerned about is our soul, and is there a hunger and desire to walk with him and have his life inside my soul? And so why Jesus stood up. Anybody thirsty? Anybody hungry? Anybody want me? Put aside all the barriers and all the junk that, oh, we as we can so fill our lives with, right? So this is where Jeremiah was. And God starts speaking. In God says, if you, Jeremiah, have raced with men on foot and they've weared you out, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land, a safe place, a comfortable life, you're trusting me, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? In a tough place in your life? Man, so much in that. So much in it. It's hard for me to preach this just because I have years of God convicting me with this verse in many different ways. But let me just point out a couple things. Man, we see God's heart. You see, we all get worn down. Just like even a great prophet Jeremiah got worn down. God comes to him and says, Jeremiah, if the course of running with men, in other words, living in a society and a community of people who are just all after the good life, if they've worn you down to seek after me, how are you going to run with horses? Because see, my intention, God is saying to Jeremiah, is I've got a supernatural life for you. I've got big things ahead for you. I have a life ahead of you. The God life for you is you doing things that you could not do on your own. And last time I checked, the only way that any of us are going to run with a horse is if something supernatural happens. I mean, isn't that great terminology? You know that God wants you to run with horses? You know, that's his heartbeat. I think a lot of us, man, this is the lies of the enemy, right? Oh, God's left me behind. God's not there. He's not speaking. He's not favoring me. It's just spiral. God's heart for each and every one of you is that you would run with horses. That you would live a life so abundant, so full of his fire, so full of his passion, that you would do things by faith that you could never do with your own talents, skills, and gifts. That is his heart for you. It's his heart for me. But we can't get there without faith. We can't get there without trusting. And he goes on to say, hey, in a comfortable place, in Aspen, in the midst of the good life, if you can trust me, what are you going to do in the place of wilderness? Because it's coming, folks. Right? Newsflash. This is a hard world full of evil. Trauma. Disappointment. A wilderness, a desert, a tough time, a trial, a storm is coming to your life at some point. What are we going to do then? And the tragedy is that for a lot of us is that we don't start crying out to God until we hit that place. And when we wait to the hard place to cry out to God, we have no faith built up to apply in the midst of the storm. And many don't survive the storm. They buy the lie that God has left them, disappointed them, failed them, hurt them, and they live a life just embracing the good life, and they miss the God life. You are made to race with horses. The capacity you have in your soul for the Holy Spirit and the supernatural to push back darkness, to be a beacon of light and joy and hope, to bring the possibilities of healing into places of impossibilities. You were created to race with horses. So I just want to give you two things out of this passage to hold on to. And again, these two things, let me just say, these are things that are very personal to me. These are things that God spoke very clearly to me in my own personal context in many different ways. The first of these is stop whining. Stop grumbling. Start being more interested about God than yourself. I'm going to say it again. If you want to live a life beyond what you can do on your own, it will be impossible if you whine and you complain and you get into a grumbling place. All through the Bible, beginning to end, grumbling and whining led people away from God, away from his best for their life. It is a bondage. It is a sickness. It is toxic to the soul. Stop whining. No matter what the issue is, God is bigger than that issue. And in the midst of whining, in the midst of whatever it is that's causing me to whine, is God is doing something. In the midst of my grumbling or whatever wants to lead me to a place of grumbling, God is doing something. The question is, in the midst of that, am I more willing to say, God, I'm more interested in you, what is going on, than I am myself? Get me out of my discomfort, God. It might be God's got a bigger plan. Stop whining. Be more interested about God than yourself. The culture we live in says the absolute opposite. 24/7 in your life, you are barraged with just the opposite, which is the way you're going to get the good life, the way you're going to succeed is self-glorification, self-promotion. The more you can get out there on the internet, self-gratification and self-help. That is the way you're going to raise yourself up in this world. It is a lie, a big lie. The way that we move into the fullness of who we are is be more concerned about God. Lord, what are your purposes? What does your word say? What is your will, God? What are your ways? What are your purposes here? This opens heaven above us, and God starts speaking. It moves us from just a ritual of saying we're a Christian and that we're following God into a dynamic, walking, talking relationship with God. So stop whining. Catch yourself. God has to, this is a regular event in my life. It's like a megaphone. Stop the whining. Where's your faith? Have I not been there for you? Am I not bigger? The stars, just look up. Than any issue that you're complaining about, that you're whining about on God. God will do some amazing things. Amazing things. Folks, listen carefully. The good life, the thing that you and we're all just hit with 24/7, it is about acquiring and accomplishing. The God life is about who we are becoming. The good life is a focus on acquiring and accomplishing. The God life is about who I'm becoming. And see, when my soul, when the focus is on God, what are you about? And the focus is on my soul, me becoming the person God wants me to be, right? Then my accomplishing and my acquiring, okay, now they have grander eternal purpose and they can flourish and not captivate me. Does that make sense? Second thing out of this passage is, folks, we need to stop being spectators, spiritual spectators. We need to stop being spiritual consumers. We need to serve God, and we need to be consumed by Him. All of these things Jeremiah wrestled with in his life. Jeremiah was battled with the crowd mentality. Folks, let me just be real clear, is that just because a crowd is built around something does not mean something good is happening there. Just because a crowd is there does not mean that God has blessed that. It goes for a church as well. Very important. Just look at Jesus. Every time a crowd built, he preached the crowd down. He called individuals out of the crowd into the core because he's concerned. Look at Jesus' ministry. He didn't go raise up a banner everywhere and Jesus is here tonight. Let's see what kind of big crowd we can build. You know what? He ministered. Just read the Gospels. It blows my mind. The King of the universe is walking on this earth and he has time for a blind beggar. He has time for the leper. He has time to personally, when somebody comes and desperate for him to hold his cloak, to stop in the middle of the crowd that is all over him and to have an intimate conversation. That is your God. That is the kind of attention he wants to give you. But if I just hold back to the crowd and become a spectator, a spiritual spectator, you know what happens? I miss the voice of God. And I just turn into a spectator. I turn into a consumer and I just sit. Folks, God has something for each of you. He's gifted you. He wants you to get you busy for Him. And it begins with serving wherever your home family, church family is getting busy serving. It's in the midst of serving the family that God moves in a powerful way. And he's gifted each and every one of us for that. We are the... America is the nation of consumerism, unlike any nation in the history of the world. We are about more, better, and sexier, right? Got to have more, it's got to be better, and it's got to be sexier, right? I mean, that's what drives us. Well, just take a look at Aspen, Colorado. We got to consume, and somehow I'm going to get this great satisfaction, fulfillment, if I buy into that. The only way to move into the God life is to really attack consumerism, especially spiritual consumerism, and material consumerism, in a very head-on way, and to see it for what it is, and to get hungry and thirsty, right, for God. Folks, we have more Bibles, software, conferences, books. We have more spiritual tools at our disposal. It's colossal. On my computer, I have 50,000 references, Greek and Hebrew. In a lifetime, nobody could use all that. With a button, I can push down to one Hebrew word in the Old Testament and tell you what that verb means. It's history all the way back into ancient times. It's unbelievable. But folks, the problem is becoming a spiritual consumer is that we just are constantly watching, seeing, reading. But where is the margin to say, God, I need you to speak to me. I'm tired of living off somebody else's words. I need you to speak to me personally. Folks, this is absolutely key. Is our life never gets a hold of what God has for us if in my life I don't get desperate for, hey, I'm tired of the pastor, you know, bringing that, what God told him. I need to hear that myself. And folks, please hear me loud and clear. Don't ever go out there and say, hey, well, Steve said. It doesn't matter what Steve says so much as you need to take this back and you need to go, God, is that true? And have God speak to you. What's important is that God speaks in the preaching of his word, that you hear him say something personal to you. Not so much what anybody else says. Of course, don't get me wrong. We have a blessing to be able to hear all this and study it. There's a time for that. But more important is, are you hearing him speak to you? He wants to speak to you very personally. So, Jeremiah 12:5. The God life. I pray you'll take these two things this new year. And let God bring alive this life that he desires to move you into, that you would race with horses, that you would live far beyond what you're capable of doing. Last verse, real quick. New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Folks, this verse, oh my goodness. Listen to this. This is what John tells us. Verse 2, it should be on the screen. Beloved, that's who you are. You're his beloved. The Hebrew word is segula. You are his precious being. You're his precious treasure. Beloved, don't forget who you are. We are God's children now. The reality of living always under your identity, who you are. Remember, the good life is about what I'm accomplishing, what I'm acquiring. And it dies, the soul dies, without knowing who they, having confidence in who we really are. The God life is upon this clear understanding of you're a child of God. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He's there for you. He's got an eternal destiny and plan for your life, and it is to be lived starting now, right now. Look at this. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he, Jesus, appears, we shall be like him. Folks, we could meditate on that all year long. You will be like him. Jesus came not just to make you a nice, good person. He came. The Father sent him to transform you to be like him. The God life is mainly about who are we becoming. It's happening to my soul, my heart, the inside out. Man. And when we gather as a church, that's how we'd encourage each other. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget how much you're loved. Don't forget what God desires for your life. Don't forget he desires you to race with horses. Don't forget the vast resources of supernatural power for you. God with us, God for us. Wow. And just two things to remember out of this passage. And Derek, y'all can come on up. First one is this, and this should be up on the screen. Folks, don't be content just hearing about God. Hear him. Moving into this year, don't be content just about hearing a preacher preach or a podcast or whatever it is. God, I got to hear you. I got to hear from me. What do you have to say to me, your child? Amen. He wants to speak to you. Very clearly, into your life, into your situation. The second one is close to this, but don't be content just talking about God. Talk with him. Talk to him. And we see Jeremiah's journey was this having it out with God, this honest, ongoing dialogue with God. God, I'm just laying my heart out to you. God, speak to me. And he will. He will. It's easy to just talk about something. It's a whole nother thing to enter into, right, discussion and prayer with our God, with our Maker, right? So folks, just in closing, I ask you, looking to 2017, what do you want? What kind of life? And I just hold out to you this unbelievable promise by Jesus. No one has done what he's done for us. He offers you the God life. He offers for his Holy Spirit to come and to revitalize your heart, bring abundance, bring joy unspeakable. He wants you to race with horses. And I just encourage you to, just as you're out, look up. Just use that as a marker, because we are so focused here. Even in the midst of troubles, we get locked and loaded here. And this is why the psalmist over and over again says, I lift my eyes, I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord Almighty. So I just want to pray for us. And I want us to take the end of this service and just do what we just practice, what we just preached. To hear God. To speak to God. And to just close your eyes. And this is you and God. Just ask him to speak to you. Cry out to him. What's in your heart? What you want? Father, we love you. And Lord, before we come to the table, remember Jesus, this incredible sacrifice, God. The price you paid. We could have this God life, this fellowship with you, the Father, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, overwhelm us, consume us, God. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Lord, I pray for that person here this morning, God, that, boy, if they're really pressed into a corner, they would have to say they've really never heard God speak to them. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and open their ears. Speak to them. Awaken their soul this morning, God. Lord, you have so much more for us. Oh. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Encourage us. Bring that joy unspeakable. Lord, in this room, I know there's people who need healing. And God, stretch out your hand. Heal, Lord. Heal. And encourage, God. Let me just encourage you to keep your eyes closed. Just before I sit down, though, what I know is that sometimes for God to move, he requires a step of faith, even a little one. And just with everybody's eyes closed, not because a preacher or teacher asks you, but only if it's the desire of your heart. I want to pray for those who want to run with horses, who want the God life more than anything else. That's you. With all eyes closed, just stand. I'm going to say a quick prayer. You want to run with horses. Moving into 2017. Father, thank you for these souls. Lord, God, I pray. Meet them, Lord, at the place of their hunger, God. Holy Spirit, come and encourage them. Bless them. Lord, I pray that they'll hear you more clearly. Lord, that your love for them would just be lavished upon them, God. Lord, give them greater clarity, God. Lord, reveal this incredible God life, what you have for them, Lord. Let 2017, Lord, be a new life, a new beginning. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. Thank you, God.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.